Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Roadside Ethics Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Remember that guy, Daryl, who called?
No.
He was trying to solve his dilemma about whether it was ethical to go into a McDonald's by the side of the highway.
Oh, for a haircut.
For a haircut?
Yes, I do remember.
Without buying any French fries? That was his question?
Yeah.
We got a lot of mail on that issue.
Yeah? Get anything
good? For example, I got this one from Landmark. Landmark? He's a landmark. Recently, Daryl called you. You got to put the right words together. Called you looking for help in resolving his moral dilemma regarding the usage of the Golden Arches tonsorial facilities without an accompanying culinary purchase. Yes, I remember this.
I do.
One, you were correct in stating that the corporation's open door policy allows such barbering. Barbering. You did not recognize the moral high ground upon which Daryl stands.
Oh, of course we did.
Or sits. Depending on whether Daryl needs a haircut, or a full wash, trim, and blow dry. To wit, how many times has Daryl and millions, not to mention millions
of
others...
Oh, a haircut and a shave would actually be the appropriate expression.
...experience a Golden Arches repast without getting a haircut? This is an important point.
Exactly.
There are many times...
Of course, it's obvious.
I'm willing to assume, without fear of facts, that Daryl's cholesterol count far exceeds the number of haircuts taken. The moral onus is on corporate America as they owe the consumer thousands upon thousands of free haircuts. Wow. Rather than discussing whether or not Daryl has committed a moral faux pas, you should be challenging Ronald, Wendy, Carl, Jack, and all the others to provide roadside barbering in just such areas as Daryl described. After all, if you consume a supergiant king-size beverage with your meal, you cannot be expected to idly wait there for the inevitable biological processes.
Indeed.
By the time the need for a wicked haircut is felt, you will be many miles down the road.
Indeed.
To return to the original establishment to claim your unused tonsorial privilege would be counterproductive and end the trucking business as we know it today. The aforementioned restaurateurs are morally obligated to establish a chain of roadside barbershops. And this is from Lan Mock of Downey, California.
Also, if you would see a facility that just said roadside facilities.
McDonald's.
Provided for by.
Exactly right.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'll just read one paragraph from another letter from Bill Muse from, where's he from? He's from 98118.
California.
Whatever
someplace.
The hell that is. He says, my theory is that McDonald's wants you to stop in an empty, that you might refill and maybe grab some fries. It's part of the corporate strategy. They make a point of having clean restrooms and trumpeting that fact, and they sell soft drinks in cups so large that the smallest is still twice the size of the adult driver's bladder. Indeed, my recent trip was an exercise in liquid recycling, transferring gallons of Diet Coke in my body from McDonald's to McDonald's like some kind of confused smuggler. Well, I guess we've solved that little issue.
We certainly have, and I'm glad that we have put America's mind, collective mind.
So you should never. Collective minds.
At ease.
Yeah. You should never have any second thoughts or even worry about it.
If you'd like to call us about your car or anything else, tonsorial needs included, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Daniel Coleman from Warrensburg, Missouri.
Hi, Daniel.
No last names, please.
Oh,
Warrensburg, Missouri.
Yeah.
What's up?
We'd ask you where Warrensburg is, but we're struggling right now with Missouri.
I mean, if you said near Kansas City, that would be fine. But if you said near anything else, we wouldn't know where that was either.
I have a 94 Cavalier, and it seems that whenever I drive on the highway for about an hour or so, whenever I first start to slow down, the car seems to shake violently and then completely stalls out.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no clue what it is. I've had tune-ups on it, and everybody says everything's fine.
Mm. Really?
It's an automatic transmission, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Even Doug Berman, our producer, raised his hand because he went, ooh, Mr. Carter. Oh, he said he was checking his underarm deodorant. That's why he was raising his hand.
It stalls out every time when this happens, right?
Yeah.
And you restart it, and it starts, but as soon as you put it in drive, it stalls again?
It won't restart. It'll take about a half hour for it to turn over, at least.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then I'll go ahead and I'll put it in drive, and it'll go.
Aha! Oh, you have a different...
You have a different problem.
Vermin, you're out, man.
So, you're driving on the highway. You come off the exit, and you come to a stop at the end of the exit. The thing stalls.
Yeah.
You turn the key. What happens?
Nothing.
No clicks, no nothing.
Maybe a click.
But no...
No.
So you wait half an hour, it starts right up, you throw it in drive, and you're off.
Exactly.
Sonia, Henny's tutu, it doesn't crank.
Well, if it doesn't crank, there has to be something wrong with either the battery...
The ignition switch.
Or the starter motor.
The starter motor.
Or the solenoid. Or the wiring. But that wouldn't explain why it starts up again after waiting for it to cool down.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't explain what would make it shudder and stall. How long do you have to drive it before it does this?
I don't know, about an hour.
Who put you up to this?
Yeah, did you kind of deal with Louis Cronin?
No, I mean, I've been to a few places, and I figured if anybody could help me out, it'd be you two.
How long can you wait?
Well, we can't, Daniel.
We will. If you give us an hour.
Yeah, I mean, you're not in a hurry, are you? Can you bring the car in?
See, the trouble is there are two things happening here. It's stalling out, which is one whole set of possibilities, and then it won't crank, which another whole set of... There are two things wrong with it, Dan.
I agree.
There are two things wrong with your
Isn't
car.
That comforting?
Well, it's a start. It's a start. You got to go through this step by step. If we could figure out the non-start thing, I think that would be a great breakthrough. And let's forget about the fact that it stalls up.
Do you have an alarm system in this car?
No, I don't.
Ooh, well, that's good. If you're lucky, someone will steal it.
Mamma mia.
Oh, here's a good question. Maybe you don't know the answer. If you continued to drive it at high speed,
yeah,
like longer than an hour,
mm-hmm.
would it misbehave ever?
No. It's just whenever I start to slow down.
Okay, here's what I think. I'm going back to Berman's original answer. As so, misguided as that
as
may be.
As misguided as it was, I'm going back to it, too.
Your initial problem with it conking out after driving for an extended period of time is your lock-up torque converter.
Uh-huh.
This car has, because it has an automatic transmission, has a device called a torque converter, which is basically a device which allows the transfer of power from the engine to the transmission via a hydraulic setup, okay? And because hydraulic torque converters have inherent slippage, they made one that would lock up when you got above 35 miles an hour, so it wouldn't slip. And yours isn't unlocking when your speed drops below 35 miles an hour.
Wow.
So you need to have that unplugged.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we only have one answer per caller this week. That's for sure going to fix that part.
Yeah.
And
here's the other part.
Then, if it didn't stall out because of this,
you wouldn't have to restart it,
and you wouldn't have to solve the other problem.
You wouldn't have the second.
You're all set,
I
man.
I like it. But the second problem could be something simple like the neutral safety switch.
Yes, it could be. Or it could be a bad starter motor. It could be a lot of things. But have them unplug the torque converter. I'm convinced that will solve problem number one. And then problem number two probably won't go away, but you'll be encouraged that you only have one problem left.
Okay.
Good luck, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right.
Bye.
Nice talking to you, Daniel.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2.
We bailed out of that one.
Oh, yeah. Louis will have him on Stumped Chumps. Yeah. Yeah. We'll be begging for mercy. 888-CAR-TALK. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Carol in Fairbanks.
Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Fairbanks.
Yes.
Is that in Massachusetts?
No, that's not in Massachusetts. That's in Alaska.
What's the temperature?
Right now?
Yeah.
About 40.
Oh,
40
my
above, though.
God.
We're very happy with
40
that.
Above?
I mean, but are you in, like, short sleeves, T-shirts and stuff?
I wear my Birkenstocks till I'm up to my ankles.
No kidding.
Then I change into my boots.
Wow. So, I mean, that means the human body can pretty much get used to anything.
Well, I come from California originally.
Really?
So, right.
How long have you lived in Fairbanks?
20 years.
Why?
20 years.
Why?
I mean, I have to ask. I mean, why the hell would you live there? I mean, come on.
Well, it's beautiful up here.
Do you complain about the weather?
I never complain about
you
the
don't.
Weather.
See, I complain.
I'm a recruiter.
I complain all winter. I've been complaining half the summer because it hasn't been hot enough.
He complains about everything.
No, I don't complain about...
He complains about everything.
I don't complain about anything.
Wait a minute. Which one is complaining and which isn't?
I complain about the weather all the time. And I just wondered if you ever stop complaining, and you don't complain.
No, never.
No.
It's
if you,
gorgeous
if,
up here.
If you're going to live there, you have
Come
to
up.
Expect...
No, I do live here. I have to. Yeah. I have to not complain.
Whenever I meet someone who lives up in the woods, I'm always curious.
Why are you there?
Well, I mean, I could never understand. I know it's because of my Mediterranean heritage, but I could never understand why someone would willingly go someplace where it's even colder than where he or she is now.
Let's go back.
Let's get back on track. Come
All
on,
right, Carol.
Keep us on the straight and narrow.
Okay. This is my question, my car question. Okay.
Yeah, ready? We're ready.
Come on. What have we got all day?
Jeez, Carol, you haven't shut up for a minute.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. Okay, this is really weird. And it's not hard, I hope. Yeah. Okay, I've got a 93 Mazda Navajo.
Uh-huh.
The car surges and gets really bad gas mileage. And I've had the tires changed. I've had the spark plugs changed. I've had it tuned up. I've had everything gone through. And then finally my mechanic said, well, it's because there are three drivers. There's you, your husband, and your teenager. And the car needs time to adjust between drivers.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you say it surges...
As wacky as that sounds...
It is
there
true.
Is a grain of truth to it.
Oh, there is?
Everything has gotten so complicated these days.
That computers.
In the old days, you had a transmission, and it was a purely mechanical thing that didn't have to figure out nothing and didn't remember nothing.
Yeah.
But now the computer has to figure out what the transmission does, and it actually remembers your driving patterns, and it actually does control the shifting.
So
to some
he was
extent.
Not teasing.
Well, no, he wasn't teasing. I say there's a grain of truth to it, but I don't think he's right.
But of all the drivers,
it's not as wacko an idea as it sounds at first blush.
There are three drivers, and who does the majority of the driving?
I do.
So you drive it.
I drive it differently than the other two.
I understand that, but if you've driven it several days in a row, does it still do this?
No.
So after a day or so, it clears up.
It does. It adjusts to me. It says like, "Oh, mommy, you're back."
Yeah. Well, he's probably right.
He's probably right if that's true.
Well. How long does it take to adjust?
Well, I don't know how long it takes.
I don't know.
Why does it do that?
I don't know that either. No, I mean, is it true that if you drive for a couple of days without one of the other two drivers driving it, you don't have this problem?
Yes.
Yeah, what happens
then he is right.
The shift pattern gets changed by the
by
signals to the computer from the throttle position sensor. So that it learns, for example, if you are a driver that lead foots it off the line like your kid probably does. No, of course not.
Of course.
No, he peels.
He peels. So
he doesn't know what peeling means, right. But that's what he does.
Then it will shift faster, and when you get in the car and you drive at a more reasonable rate, it will shift slower. Mm-hmm. And for a little while between those two drivers, it doesn't quite know what to do. It's like a dog. You know, one master says when he wants you to come, he says, "Hey, jerk, get over here." And the dog comes running over. The other one says, "Come on, little poochie." And the dog has to figure out, is this the guy that wants me to come over there when he says, "Come on, little poochie"? And it takes a while for it to figure it all out. It's a little puppy. The transmission
so when
is
you
a little
get in
puppy.
It after your son has driven it, it is shifting as if he were still driving it because
exactly.
It has learned.
And I'm going, whoa, where am I going?
Does it wet the floor? He's keeping with this puppy analogy.
Way too fast.
Do you find little puddles in the garage? Do you have garages up there in Fairbanks?
Oh, yes.
Oh, are they igloos?
No.
No, they're actually made out of wood?
Some of them.
Stone?
I mean, I hate to pry, but give us a little glimpse into your personal life.
Like what?
I mean, like, give us a day in the life of Carol in Fairbanks.
A day in the life. Well,
what do you do for work?
Oh, I work at the Northern Alaska Environmental Center.
Which would be perfectly fine if none of you people lived there. They wouldn't need an environmental center.
Yeah. You sort of went up to Alaska to save Alaska from itself.
I went up to Alaska to experience Alaska,
yeah.
And I have completely.
Well, you stayed there 20 years, so I guess you can't be that miserable.
That's half my life.
You don't sound miserable, and you sound pretty happy, as a matter
yeah.
of fact.
Yeah, it's wonderful up here.
Yeah. Well,
come
well,
visit.
It's been a real slice, Carol, I'll tell you.
Well, thanks. It's been a real pleasure talking to you, Carol. I personally have had a wonderful time.
See you later.
Okay.
Bye. Okay, Tommy, it's September.
Yeah.
A new school year has just begun.
True.
There's a reinvigorating nip in the air. Mm. Do you remember last week's puzzler?
Did it have to do with Cuban cigars, industrial strength cleaning solvents, and a cheating scandal?
No, that was last week's poker game. But you're close. It did have to do with poker.
I'm out.
Snap out of it. We'll be back in a minute.
This old beat up Chevy's been my friend since the day Grandpa broke her hand. Back when we heard country music all across the dial, what they played.
And even though endangered species say, you know, on second thought, take me off that protected list whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us.
Click Wait a minute. Speak for yourself. You may be back. I'm not back.
We're Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
There was a puzzler last week?
Yeah. This is from the poker collection.
Oh, the poker puzzler. Now why didn't you remind me?
I couldn't remember it myself until just now.
You were playing poker with your wife.
We were sitting at the kitchen table.
That
she
was
says,
it.
She says, I'd like to learn how to play poker. Can you teach me? So I explained to her the ranking of the hands, you know, the highest hand being a royal flush, ace, king, queen, jack, 10 of one suit, and the lowest hand being nothing.
Nothing.
Okay. So anyway, I've got all the cards face up on the table, and she says, let's play a game with the cards like this. You pick five of the cards, and I'll pick five of the cards, and we'll see who has the best hand.
And you said...
No, I said, well, that seems pretty silly. We can see all the cards, so I'm going to pick a royal flush, and you're going to pick a royal flush, and we're going to be tied every time. And she says, well, after you pick your cards, you can draw cards.
Uh-huh.
You can throw away up to as many as five cards. You can throw them all away, or you can throw none of them away. So I said, well, I'm not going to throw any away. I'm going to pick a royal flush, and you're going to pick a royal flush, and nobody's ever going to win. Mm-hmm. And she says, well, let me pick first.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, go ahead.
Yeah.
And she does. And she wins.
Really?
Yeah. What hand does she pick?
I have to say that I did ponder this during the week, but I immediately escaped everything, and I forgot about it.
Well, I think the only hand that guarantees her a winner
is to pick four tens.
Four tens.
Huh?
She picks four tens no matter what I pick. She will always wind up with a better hand because she can get a 10-high straight flush, and the best I can do is a 9-high straight flush, a straight flush beating four of a kind. So if she picks four tens and I pick four aces loses to 10, 9, 8, 7, 6 of, say, hearts,
yeah,
for example.
And it's not possible for you knowing that that's what she's going to do.
Well, she does it first.
To prevent her from getting... So she picks the four tens. And you see her do that, right?
Right, so I can go ahead and pick
the nine of clubs,
yeah. The eight of spades, in which case, if I do that...
If you do that, then she cannot get a 10-high flush, straight flush.
Yeah, but neither can you.
Neither can you.
Yeah, so she wins. I think that's the. I may be wrong, but I think.
Where did you get this puzzle? Did you make it up?
I don't remember.
You don't remember my foot. You stole it. You know you did.
So
it's very good, though.
So who do we have a winner?
Yeah, the winner is Chuck Dean from Chicago, Illinois, and for having his answer selected at random from among all those correct answers that we got. Chuck is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. And you know what he can get with that gift certificate? You don't, do you?
I know what he told us we could do with it, though.
No, he can get one of our CDs of disrespectful car songs called Born Not to Run, which features on the cover me in the role of my pal. What's his name?
Bruce Springfield.
That's Bruce Springfield. That's him.
Yeah.
The boss. And my brother reprising his award-winning performance as Clarence Clemens playing a toolbox instead of a saxophone. That is a...
I get some sweet notes out of that toolbox, I'll tell you. Anyway...
That is a sweet little thing, boy.
It indeed is. And we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show today. So don't touch that dial just yet. In the meantime, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Andy calling you from Minneapolis.
Minneapolis.
Do you know my friend Les Block?
I do not, although I remember when he was on the show a few months ago.
Yeah, he barely remembered Tom.
Yeah, doesn't speak to me anymore. I got him in a lot of trouble.
What's happening, Andy?
I've got a 1987 Subaru GL wagon that has a smoking air conditioner and defrost. When I turn it on, within about 20 or 30 seconds, you definitely start smelling a burning belt, and it starts blowing smoke in through the vents.
When now, you turn on what? The air conditioner?
The AC, for one, it definitely does it. And then the defrost, because the defrost on this model, I believe, also brings
it turns on the AC. It turns on the AC.
So
that's
it starts blowing smoke in to the passenger compartment. I tried this a couple weeks ago. I actually did it with the car just running out there in the driveway, popped the hood, and there's smoke coming from everywhere.
From everywhere. So, it's probably coming from one place.
From what I couldn't tell exactly where it was from. It was just, you know, smoke kind of billowing out. So I shut everything off. I'm like, okay, I don't need the air conditioner. So my question is, one of two things. Can I just unplug the air conditioner and have everything run just fine? Or number two, since that air conditioner, the only reason I need that second belt is for the AC. If I'm not using the AC, is it possible to remove that belt?
Yes. I don't think so. I think on your car, one belt drives the AC.
No, it's a separate belt. It doesn't drive anything.
He's wrong.
My brother says you're wrong.
Oh, actually, you may not be. 87.
This is 87, man. This is way beyond your recollection period.
There's a separate belt for the AC. And
cut
it. The other one runs just the alternator and everything else.
Oh.
Okay, so you can cut the belt.
Just cut it.
Okay.
Oh, I remember now. There's a match pair of belts that runs the power steering and the alternator, and then this one belt runs the air conditioner.
Actually, you've got it backwards. There's one in the alternator, a matching pair in the AC, and a matching in the power steering.
What do you have? So you have like seven belts altogether, right?
There's only two.
And a pair of suspenders.
Well, if you're confident that that belt is running only the AC, you can remove it or cut it, or you can simply unplug the AC clutch. There's a plug that plugs into the compressor.
Okay.
Yeah, unplugging it is easier than cutting it because it requires no tools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I got tools.
Yeah, no, and you're dying to use them, I know.
Save them.
If you're dying to use them, then take the belt off.
Yeah, because with your luck, you'll cut the wrong belt. And
well,
then where will you be?
Thanks for the vote of confidence.
It's like the doctors that cut off the guy's incorrect leg. What a bummer.
Well, they were practicing. See you, Andy. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
Time to order a fleece bodysuit for the MGB?
No, it's time to play Stump the Troops. Stump the Chumps is that portion of our program where we bring back a previous caller and find out just how bad the injuries were.
That's right. So who's this week's Chump Stumper?
Well, the little card here says it's John from Gloversville, New York, which I believe thought was the place where Orson Welles did the War of the Worlds thing, and it isn't.
No.
John is back with a 1990 Volkswagen Golf that he recently bought from his sister.
His sister? Oh, that's a stupid idea.
Wait, what's done is done. Apparently, it pulls to the right when he's going uphill.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember this call. And pulls to the left when he's going downhill or on a straightaway. Remember that?
Oh, I remember. This guy had us so completely stumped, we had to go on a bit of a fishing expedition.
It's been doing this ever since you got it from your sister, that weird sister of yours?
Now, let's not get too far into my sister here. But yeah, it's been doing that pretty much ever since I got it.
Because we have a weird sister doesn't mean that everyone does.
No?
No, I've got a great sister. She took very good care of it.
Did your sister ever have an accident
with the car? No, he said she never had an accident.
She didn't tell him about it.
Well, that she, right.
I mean, does your sister tell you all the accidents she has? She's got a brand new car. One day she says, it's funny, you know those extra driving lights that I had in the front?
They're now dragging on the pavement.
They're dragging on the ground. And I say to her, well, how did that happen? What did you hit? Hit?
I didn't know. Just fell out. She has a Subaru. She says, what a cheap piece of junk this is. The lights just fell out. And we said, we don't think so.
I don't think so.
Hey, if John's sister is anything like our sister, she probably just forgot to mention the time that the tree jumped out in front of the car.
She's driving along. Boom. Trees do that.
So our best guess for John was an accident. We figured that if the Golf was in an accident, that would explain the pulling in the different directions thing.
So we're basically accusing his sister of wrecking the car and then selling it to him under false pretenses. Is that what our position was?
Yeah, basically.
All right, John, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, before you tell us that your sister is suing us for defamation of character and lost income from the sale of her used car, we have to be sure that this is on the up and up.
Can you confirm for us, please, John, that since your last appearance on Car Talk, you have not been contacted by any members of our staff or the National Association of Sibling Rivalry?
That is absolutely correct.
All right. Did you go right out and accuse your sister of cracking up the car?
No, guys, I got to confess here. Confession is appropriate. I actually work as a pastor here in Gloversville. But the car was actually involved in an accident that totally slipped my mind. What's you're going to love this.
Yeah.
Is I was involved in the accident, too.
And you forgot.
Having a little senior moment, were we?
Exactly. Well, I was in the passenger seat. My brother rear-ended my sister.
Oh,
no
really?
Kidding.
In a rented Cadillac. You're going to love the front of the Cadillac was destroyed. The Golf, it only had a little dent. It had to have the bumper replaced.
And you thought that's all that happened to the Golf until now.
Exactly.
Now you're finding out that the whole frame is no longer a square. It's a parallelogram. You're never going to be
well,
able to get...
Well, better that than a trapezoid, but yeah.
Better that than a trapezoid, but you're never going to get it to track right.
Uh-huh.
So have you had anyone look at it?
No, I didn't have anyone look at it since we talked.
It sounds a little dangerous to me, John. I mean, I know you have a special connection with the big one up there, but
the big guy.
You might have to use it sooner than you think. So, I mean, I would really have someone look at it. It's possible if the frame is really even a trapezoid, it might be possible to straighten it out.
Okay.
And if that's the case, I would really do it.
Yeah.
And it's not going to cost thousands of dollars to do that. It's going to cost hundreds.
Yeah, and if the handling is really that squirrely, it could be dangerous. So you should get it fixed.
I'll definitely check
But thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
And
hey,
for being so honest with us. Of course you would be honest.
Man of the cloth.
A man of the cloth.
Of course, what else would we expect?
We didn't even know that.
Thanks, John.
Thank you guys very much.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
All right. Now, if you want to take the first step toward being on Stump the Chumps, you have to call us because you can't be on again unless you were on once.
That's right.
By definition, you can't be on a second time unless you were what?
The first time.
Well, there you go. And that number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi. My name's Nikki, and I'm calling from Framingham, Mass.
N-I-K-I?
N-I-K-K-I.
Two okay. K's.
From Framingham.
Yep. I got a problem with my 93 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo.
Okay.
It makes a funny noise when I have the car fully loaded and I take a left-hand turn. In the back of the car near the right tire, it makes this loud bong noise.
Man!
But I've had it checked and it's not my shocks or my struts or anything like that.
Well, my brother, we received recently a book. You know, frequently we have troubles figuring out people's problems, and we've thought for a while that we should have some kind of a computer system.
Well, people always ask us, when you do the show, do you have like a computer in front of you? And when people ask a question, you just type in a couple of keywords and you get all these answers?
And the answer is no, we don't, because we're too stupid to type and talk at the same time. So we don't, but we do have this little handbook.
Do we know who sent it? Oh, here it is. It's a guy named Bob Dickey.
It's about the same size as the little black book that you would have carried.
Okay.
Exactly, like a little address book. And the title is Trouble Facts Reveals All Auto Troubles at a Glance.
Really?
So my brother's going to consult this
book. This book was published in 1922. Here it is, the symptom. Knock in rear end of car.
Yeah.
Oh, it's perfect.
Okay.
Not only does it tell you what it is, but it gives you a roadside remedy. Are you ready for this?
Wonderful. Hit me.
In case a knock develops in the rear end of the car,
yeah,
it will most likely be found that the trouble is in the differential.
Okay.
Maybe one or more teeth is broken off. Roadside remedy. And I'm sure, Nikki, that you want to do this.
Oh, God.
Take off the cover of the differential housing.
We'll explain to you how to do that in a minute.
Take off cover of... This is a roadside remedy.
I mean, people wouldn't even do
this in the garage. Take off cover of differential housing, clean out the oil and other accumulations.
Weld new teeth onto...
Weld new teeth onto gears and drive away happily.
You mean don't turn up radio and just keep going?
No, it's not your differential, so you can rest easy.
So it's when you have the thing loaded.
When I have it totally loaded.
And when you hear the noise, is it one loud noise or is it a sequence of noises?
It's one loud bomb.
Irrespective of the speed?
Yeah, irrespective of the
speed.
Does
the Cherokee have leaf springs?
No.
Coils?
I think it has coils. That's a good question.
Isn't this a Grand Cherokee?
Yep.
Grand Cherokee.
Jeez, I don't know what it has in the back.
See, if it had coil springs... That would answer it.
My coil springs go bong.
I don't think it does, though. How? See, wait, maybe the book has.
Yeah.
This book was...
Look at the appendix.
Right, 1992. Let's see if it...
I would go for the errata sheet.
the introduction to the second edition. the 62nd edition.
Well, I mean, I'm fairly confident in saying that it's probably nothing serious. It's only because you have... push the suspension to its limit,
okay,
so to speak. It could be that one of the springs is making the noise, and then when the thing is loaded in its normal fashion, that the noise goes away because you're not forcing it.
Okay.
I would take it back to the shop that looked at it and ask them to take a look. First of all, find out if it has coil springs in the back.
Okay.
And if it does, have him take a look at both of them. It probably is the right one.
Okay.
They can sort of simulate this, because if you know it's happening on a left turn,
mm-hmm,
they can jack up the left side of the back end of the vehicle.
Okay.
And that'll simulate taking a left turn.
Oh, okay.
And then they can, like, push on it and see if something happens.
All right.
Tell them you're serious and you want to just take a look at it.
Tell them you'll pay this time.
Yeah, that might help.
Yeah. And don't forget my brother's suggestion. Bring brownies.
Yeah, that works. Okay.
Yeah, actually, you know what's good, too? This time of year, like...
Carrot cake?
Pumpkin cake.
Oh.
Pumpkin cake.
Pumpkin pie.
Yes, we in the automotive repair industry.
Okay.
Like our pumpkin cake.
Yeah. And if it's a chilly day, which it's going to be any minute now... a little hot cider wouldn't be bad in the thermos.
Oh, I'm going to bring a whole picnic basket.
Mulled cider.
Mulled cider.
See you, Nikki.
Thank you very
a mechanic's
much.
Favorite everywhere.
Bye-bye. Hey, look, before we get to the new puzzler, and I know you can't wait, we have to take a short break.
How long a break?
Long enough for us to review everything we know about cars.
So we'll be back in like a minute?
Right.
$1,000 cars going to let you down. Gaskets and paint over your rust. You still end up with something that you'll never trust. $1,000 cars, life was through.
And even though Goldilocks wonders who's been messing with her radio's presets whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I noticed you didn't make any promises about the Puzzler, like scintillating, exciting, automotive,
folkloric. Well, that's because I don't really know which
brilliant
Puzzler.
Oh,
I'm going to use.
Okay.
Did I do the one with the poison wine glass?
Not,
not recently. Here it is.
Well, you have one.
Well, yes, I do. Of course, I have a Puzzler.
All right.
Almost everyone remembers from his or her days in school, the Pythagorean theorem.
Yes.
A squared plus B squared equals C squared, and there are numbers like 3, 4, and 5. 5, 12, 13, which satisfy that little equation.
Yeah.
And many hundreds of years ago, a French mathematician by the name of Fermat said, this only works for squares. He said, if you take A, B, and C, integers, A, B, and C.
Yes.
Okay. And there is some A squared plus B squared that will equal C squared. And we believe that. We know we have verification of it.
Yeah, we got real numbers that fit it.
We got real numbers that work.
Right.
He said if it isn't squared, but it's something else, like cubed or to the fourth power or to the fifth power.
Forget it.
It doesn't work. So, for example, there is no A cubed plus B cubed, which equals C cubed.
That's what he said.
There is no A to the fourth plus B to the fourth that equals C to the fourth. As luck would have it, a young mathematician issues a statement that he has three numbers which prove Fermat's theorem is incorrect. He calls a press conference. Now, he doesn't want to divulge everything right away. He wants the drama to build a little bit, does he not?
Going to give him one number.
He gives him all three numbers. He doesn't tell the power.
Ah!
He's going to give him A, B, and C.
Yeah.
Here are the numbers. You ready?
Oh, I got to write this down.
A equals 91.
Yeah.
B equals 56.
I know the answer already.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you what C equals.
I'm going to tell you
what I'm going to tell you what it is.
Go ahead.
147.
Wrong. C equals 121. So it just so happens that at this little impromptu press conference, there were all these science reporters from all the podunky little newspapers around this town. And one of the guys, one of the reporters, has his 10-year-old kid with him because it happens to be a holiday.
Yeah.
He's off from school. And the kid very sheepishly stands up and raises his hand and he said, I hate to disagree with you, sir, but you're wrong. The question is, how did he know that he couldn't, with these numbers,
that the guy couldn't possibly
dispute Fermat with these three
numbers?
Now, if you think you know the answer, write that answer on the back of a new
excellent
$20
question.
Bill where there's plenty of blank space on the back side. Yeah. Turn it over at the back side,
back
all that
side.
Room.
Plenty of room.
And send that $20 bill to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. You know, I can only assume that our audience has gotten much more sophisticated that they're on to us. Because back in the old days, they were a couple of numbskulls and used to send
we actually
20
used to get
bucks.
$20 bills.
Yeah.
Not that we ever really saw them because Berman opened the mail.
So,
but do you notice at Christmas time we always get $20 bills?
Yeah. For presents with writing on them. Anyway, or you can do an electronic funds transfer and email your answer on a $20 bill to us from cartalk.com. If you'd like to talk to us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Mike from Vancouver, Washington.
Hey, Mike, what's happening?
I hope you guys can help me here. I'm not sure whether I've actually got a car problem or a wife problem.
Hey. Go ahead.
Okay, I've got an 87 Jeep Cherokee, and we keep losing the radiator cap.
You keep losing the radiator cap? Is it the blow off, or?
Well, it's actually not the radiator cap. I ought to probably get to that first. It's this one. It's the 4-liter engine, and it doesn't really have a radiator cap. What it's got is like a
plastic
reservoir
bottle
back on the bulkhead.
Right. Yes.
And it's got a screw cap with a gasket on that.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay, and We've kind of had a small persistent leak for the last 6 months or so. You know, it's maybe a quart in a month. Well, anyway, I got real busy here this last few months. I got a project going on, and so I thought, I got to get the wife out there and show her how to check the coolant, check the oil.
What's the project? What are you working on, a credenza or something? What are you doing?
Well, no, he's working on some
government.
It's government work, and he can't discuss it.
It's important.
What I'm doing, I've got a sailboat, and we're actually planning a sailboat. No, it's built, but we're planning on doing a race from San Francisco to Hawaii next summer.
Oh.
And so that's kind of involving a lot of my spare time, and so I'm not keeping up on the maintenance probably like I should.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Or going to work, for that matter.
Well, that's true, too.
Great.
So anyway, so I thought I'd kind of put some of this maintenance stuff off on her. And so I showed her how to, you know, to check the coolant and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and she was really good about it.
Yeah.
But about a month later, all of a sudden this radiator cap come up missing. So I thought, okay, well, she probably just didn't put it back on.
Yeah.
Went down, bought another one, put it on. A month later, the same thing happened.
Excellent.
Mm. I love it.
So I really questioned her. I said, you know, are you absolutely sure you put that cap back on?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, of course.
Of course.
Okay, so my next story was that, well, the only thing I could think would be blowing that off was if I had a head gasket. So I thought, okay, well, I'll take it down to my local mechanic and find out the bad news. So I take it down, and you know, he calls me up a couple hours later and says, no, you don't have a head gasket on that.
Good.
I guess they were going to flush the radiator, and he said the radiator came up really restricted.
Mm.
And he kind of theorized, well, maybe that was causing some back pressure, and maybe that was blowing the cap off. And I says, well, wouldn't it be getting, you know, hot? Because it doesn't even run. It runs at the cool end of the normal.
Yeah. It would be getting hot. And more importantly, the cap is designed, the cap has a pressure release in it. It's not going to blow the cap physically off the bottle. It's going to actually unseat the cap and blow off the steam.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yes, but you were right.
Okay.
Trust me.
I think it's blowing off the cap.
I think you're blowing. Never mind. I think that she is merely not putting the cap on tightly enough.
And you think it's just vibrating
it's
itself
loose. It's just unscrewing itself. And that cap's going to be put on pretty tightly.
Okay.
But when you had it at the repair shop,
okay,
they should have found, more importantly, the source of the leak. Where's the coolant going?
Well, and that, you know, at that point, I was worried about head gaskets, so I don't think I even mentioned this.
Oh.
Yeah,
the
I think you probably have a bad water pump.
Well, that changed that about a year and a half ago.
Oh, I don't think it's a water pump at all.
Okay.
I mean, you could have a loose hose clamp. There could be a number of places from which the cooling system could leak.
But they should find it, obviously.
And once you find that, then you can put the coolant in, plant that cap, and not worry about it like the rest of the world does. And not have to impose on your wife the responsibility of the care and feeding of your cooling system.
Okay.
But I think she's not putting it on tightly enough.
Okay.
Ask her to show you how tight she's putting it on, and then you grab it afterwards, and I bet you can turn the thing another quarter of a turn.
Okay, but you can't think of any other thing that would be causing pressure to blow that thing.
Well,
my brother,
my answer was going to be so brilliant. It involved Boyle's Law, Charles Law,
Charles Boyer's Law.
Charles Boyer's Law. And just the thing vibrating off is so boring. I mean,
I know, but often the truth is boring.
Well,
I know. What can
I'm willing to accept it.
See you, Mike.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Ellen, and I live in Amagansett, New York.
Amagansett.
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 Very good.
Yeah, that's right.
It's out in the Hamptons.
Oh, in the Hamptons.
Oh, excuse me then.
And what kind of a Mercedes do you drive, Ellen?
I'm sorry to say I drive a 1991 Dodge Caravan.
Oh, Ellen! What happened to you? Everyone else got a Mercedes.
I'm cash poor. I have a big house, but I don't have anything else. So I watch all the latest and greatest drive our roads out here.
Well, hey, you don't have to be embarrassed about driving a caravan. There are lots of people who drive caravans.
Yeah.
None of them live in the Hamptons. You're the only one, but that's okay.
Well, you can just make believe you're the maid.
Well, we make it up. We put bikes on it and canoes and kayaks. You know,
cool.
That helps it look better.
So you live in the Hamptons year-round?
Yes, I'm a year-rounder here.
What happens in the winter there? Not much, huh?
Nothing.
I loved the way you said that. I got the real sense of how little that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's up?
Well, my car is, I'm the original owner, and it has 179,000 miles on it.
Wow.
We've taken very good care of this car. My husband is excellent at making sure the oil is changed. We've had 3 transmissions replaced. We've had a fuel pump replaced. We've had the ABS brakes replaced. I mean, this is our special car, okay?
Yeah.
And I want to run it to the ground.
You've already done that.
You're doing that.
We're working very hard at this right now. Well, at the last oil change, our very devoted mechanic told us that due to the smell of the oil, it's in its death throes, and it's going to die between now and the next year.
Mm.
Now, the question we have is...
The smell of fear.
What?
Of the smell of death.
What has the smell of oil have to do with the death of a car?
Wow. He said he could smell death.
But it runs okay, in your estimation.
Well, yes, it's been running really well.
Well, see, I got it. I've got
but
it.
I have
got it.
What?
Have you gone to this guy for a long time?
Day one.
Since we moved out.
Since you moved there. He is getting a little low on customers. And he wants you to be his personal emissary. He wants you to become the person who single-handedly brings in 50, 100 new people. And here's how he's doing it.
Please.
He says,
I can smell
the end of this engine. Now, a caravan with 179,000 miles on it is...
Doesn't take any rocket scientists.
It's analogous to a person who's 150 years old, 120 years old, 110 years old, and you say to the person, I don't think you've got long to live. And lo and behold, a year later, the person dies.
And you say, how did he know?
How did he know? And he says, I smelled it.
There you go.
When, and 6 months from now or tomorrow, the engine's going to die.
And you're going to say... Dimitri predicted this.
He could smell that this was going to happen.
What is his name? And is it Dimitri? We'll call him Dimitri.
We'll call him. I like.
Oh yeah,
Dimitri.
We better call him Dimitri.
Let's
he's
call
well
him Dimitri.
Known out here.
Yeah, he's well known.
We don't want to insult him in any way
or drum up any more business.
But I think he has given us a marvelous little trick here.
It is a question. I was thinking maybe there was something decaying in the car, and there's nothing I can do about it. It sounds so prophetic. Now, my husband wants to buy a new car. He wants to buy a Volvo. And
maybe your husband paid him off.
I asked him, what is the motive of this guy?
I can see it now. Your husband went to see Dimitri, and he says to Dimitri, I'm sick and tired of this caravan. I got to buy a Volvo. Tell my wife that the caravan is ready to die. And he's going to say, well, how can I tell her it's going to die? The thing's running great. He says... Mm-hmm. She'll believe anything. Make up something wild. The more ridiculous, the better, because she'll fall for anything, and we'll sell this piece of junk and we'll buy a Volvo.
She falls for everything ridiculous. She fell for me.
That is true. I did fall for him.
So that's the whole story.
So there's absolutely no basis for this oil story.
Well, no, what's going on is he's saying it smells like the end, but I think he's using that term not literally but figuratively. You know, like smells fishy to me.
He kind of he told me that he actually smelled the oil.
He smelled the oil.
And said, you know, I've smelled this before.
Yeah, it's all his clothes smell like that. His entire wardrobe.
No,
he smells it in his sleep. His underwear smells like that. Well, he's not smelling, you know, I mean, the oil does acquire an odor at some point, I suppose, but there's no way to tell an engine that's in danger of conking out. If it smelled of gasoline, it would be something that is fixable. You'd have perhaps a bad fuel pressure regulator or a bad injector, but that's fixable. That doesn't mean the engine's going to croak. And it may be that the engine oil is running very hot and breaking down, But there would be some reason for that. He's probably hearing something, too. He's probably hearing the bearings make a little noise.
Maybe. We have noticed that when you press on the accelerator, there's this little
That's what he smells, that noise.
He's smelling a noise.
He smells rebuild.
Fascinating.
So the real question is, do you rebuild this engine and drive it for another $100,000, or do you get rid of the car?
God.
And for three grand, you can rebuild the engine. I mean, you've rebuilt everything else. Why should the engine not be rebuilt?
Good question.
Assuming that the thing isn't rusted away, which it might be getting ready to do. It's about the right age for the rust to come through.
Yeah, the roof has got that acid, problem. It's seeing its
The paint's peeling off the roof.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, that's nothing. As long as it's not rusty underneath. I mean, it depends on what you want to do. I mean, you could rebuild the engine and keep the thing for another 5 years.
Or you could spend $35,000 on a new Volvo.
Okay, well, I appreciate all this information.
I'm sure you do.
I wish you the very best, Ellen.
Thank you.
Good luck, and have a nice winter in the Hamptons.
Oh, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Bye.
Yeah.
The smell of death.
Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, bongo boy, frogman.
Pumpkin lips.
Pumpkin lips Berman. Our associate producers are David, the Calves of Belleville Green, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor. Just back from the Miami-Dade Sushi Grade Tuna Filet Roomalade Minute Maid Marmalade and Gatorade Promenade is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our ranch foreman is Hyman Old Cowhand. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne Diaz, and her little dog, Toto Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to all his deputy assistant bums in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and remember, don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1338, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, check out our top 10 list.
Right, 10 cars we hate the most. 10 things we'd like to see standard on every new car. 10 worst things your mechanic could ever say to you, other than, your daughter and I are engaged.
No!
Check out all of our top 10 lists anytime over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though our children petition the courts to change their last names to Bajoli whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.